Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Trust that you're doing well. Trust that you're wide awake. If not, pour that second cup of coffee. I find that that often helps. And as long as it's not Starbucks. Listen, my friends, Starbucks brew, it's just bitter. I mean, you've really got to be desperate. Now, I will say this, a bad cup of coffee is better than no cup of coffee. So whatever cup of coffee you have, I guess that's acceptable. But boy, if you can get a good cup of Tim Hortons or Dunkin' Donuts, that just makes the Bible all that much better.
Or if you grind your own, you're even better off.
You know, John talks like a coffee drinker, but I'm going to tell you a little dirty secret about John. John makes coffee like nobody's business. He's amazing, but he doesn't drink coffee. That doesn't even seem possible to me.
I don't know why they did. I like the smell of it, but drinking it is just not my cup of tea, so to speak.
It's not your cup of coffee. Anyway, hey, Acts chapter 9, we are in verse... Oh my, let me see here. I'm in the wrong chapter. Give me one second, my friends. Yeah, verse 36, Acts chapter 9. We primarily have been talking about the Apostle Paul, his salvation, his early ministry in Damascus, his short-lived ministry in Jerusalem before he literally had to run for his life. And then Paul goes to Tarsus, his hometown, and he ministers there. We don't know much about that ministry, but he's there. And so much of ministry in our lives, my friends, is unnoticed. And there are periods of time when it just seems that we're just kind of in the rut of everyday ministry. But that's just as important.
You know, you're right, Pastor, how that even life, I think even the life of Christ, you know, there's so many things about the life of Christ in his ministry we don't know about. We know about particular weeks, particular months sometimes, but Jesus Christ did many things that we have no idea that he did. And the same is true in all of our lives. Most people don't have any idea about a lot of the ministry that we're doing, but we need to be faithful in serving Christ.
And John told us that about Jesus. Said, listen, if I were to tell you all the things he did and miracles he performed, we wouldn't have enough, you know, paper to write it in all the books of the libraries of the world. So I've written the things I've written for a specific purpose. So remember, my friends, the Bible and the stories of the Bible were given for a specific purpose. It's not that God's writing a comprehensive biography of Paul's life or Peter or anybody else. It's that he's including snippets for our learning and for our edification.
And that makes it even more paramount for us to be very much aware what God is saying, because every phrase God uses, every word God uses is important as God explains what's happening here.
All scripture, it's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. So as we read these words and go through these scriptures, let's remember that every single word we read, every verse that we go over is profitable for you and for me. Verse 36, now there was at Joppa. So Joppa was another port city located south of Caesarea. We talked about last episode. Joppa was the place from which Jonah launched years before when he was running from God, a port city. Joppa is the old city. Today, the new city is called Tel Aviv. And Tel Aviv is a large city, obviously, in Israel, but a new city, a newer city. So Peter goes from Lydda to Joppa, not a long journey. And the Bible says, and there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So what a great testimony, living for others, doing for others. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, but whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turned him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. But what a story about how Peter raises Tabitha, or Dorcas is her other name, from the dead.
You know, this is a fascinating story on many levels. We see here that Tabitha had been a person of great influence in that community. You know, she had a heart for people. She, as you mentioned already, as you read, she cared for widows. She made clothing for them. She was much beloved by her testimony, by her good deeds.
What I find interesting, though, John, is that, and all of that for sure is true, and it's the reason why people were struggling so much with her untimely death, and were so moved emotionally by the loss of her life. But they laid her in an upper chamber. They knew Peter was nearby. They called for him. So typically when a person dies, you accept it. You, in Jewish custom, even that very day, have the funeral, and that's that. But for some reason, they laid her in this upper chamber and called for Peter. So the faith for the miracle was a faith born in the hearts of these unnamed friends of Tabitha.
Yeah, I'm sure they had heard about things that happened by Jesus, that Christ had done, the apostles had done. But your point is very valid, that here they had the faith to call for Peter and to come to them. And they had the faith that God could do a miracle and do the impossible and bring this lady back and give her life again. It was great faith on their part to do this.
And when we read about how Peter arrived and kind of walk through the gauntlet of the mourners, and the Bible is very specific in detail to say these widows were there. They're actually holding the things, the crafts that Tabitha made for them, just a kind of as a symbolic of how she lived her life for others and lived her life for the needy. And I mean, what a testimony. I mean, even if Tabitha had never been raised from the dead, there's going to come a day, John, when you and I will pass from this world, and the only thing that will remain in this world are the things that we've done for others, the deeds we have done, the life we have lived. I wonder, what are people going to be holding in their hands?
That's a good observation. And a very solemn question for us to ask ourselves is, you know, when we pass away someday, you know, how will our influence have affected people, and what difference would it made in their life?
So in the ministry of Jesus, although I'm sure there were others that were raised from the dead, we only read of three specific encounters where Jesus raised somebody from the dead. So Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue of Capernaum, his 12-year-old daughter, that's one instance. And then we read about the widow at the city of Nain, whose son had died, and Jesus actually interrupted that funeral procession, raised him from the dead. And then the very famous story with Lazarus, how that Jesus had been late, appeared to be late. He's never late. And then after 4 days of Lazarus being in the grave, he called him forth from the tomb. Those are the three cases. Of the three cases, the raising of Jairus' daughter is most similar to what's happening in Acts 9.
And I think there in that case, how that, you know, the father, you know, went to get Jesus. And then on the way back, Jesus got, you know, interrupted by the woman who had an issue of blood. And then the young girl dies. And then the people send word to Jairus, hey, forget about it. Don't trouble him any longer. She's dead. But Jairus's faith persisted.
Right. So she was laid in that room and they had entered. But what was interesting to me is Jesus specifically selected Peter, James, and John to go with him for that miracle. Didn't bring the others. So there's a little harbinger of what is to come because Peter is now seeing this. He's seeing how Jesus responded. He's seeing the miracle itself. And you have to think that Peter is going back in his mind's eye to the ministry of the Lord.
Yes. You know, and I think about this, what Peter saw in Jesus, and Peter saw how that other people's faith could influence individuals. And back to what you said a moment ago about how these people, their faith sent for Peter. You know, Tabitha's dead. She can't have faith right now that she's going to be raised back to life. But the people had faith, and their faith influenced her, and how that Peter had seen throughout the life of Christ people who, not just individuals themselves that had the miracle, but other people whose faith influenced that. And Peter now comes back by these people's faith, and he's going to do a work and see the lady brought back to life.
So we said last episode that the purpose of a miracle was to shine light upon the message. And we find that here, even in this passage. I don't know if listeners, when I read it, if it jumped out at you, but it says in verse 42, it was known throughout all Joppa, many believed in the Lord. Many believed in the Lord. So the belief in the Lord was sparked by the miracle. It's not that we believe in miracles to be saved. It's that we believe the gospel to be saved. It's that the miracle brought attention to the gospel.
And I think in John 12, talking about Lazarus, you know, after Lazarus was brought back to life, how that many Jews started trusting in Christ, so much so that the Jewish leaders said, we've got to get rid of Jesus and Lazarus because what's going on here we can't have this happening right now.
And that is also a good indication of what we talked about a couple episodes ago, and that is that truth is going to do something. So in the case of Lazarus, many believed on Jesus. But the Bible says that many others were that much more obstinate to get rid of him.
Yes.
So it's not that the miracle of raising somebody from the dead is going to convince somebody. If they're a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. And the rich man said to Abraham, send Lazarus and preach to my brothers. They're going to believe if someone rises from the dead. And what Abraham said is the miracle is not going to trump the authenticity of the word of God. So if they won't believe the Bible, they won't believe the miracle.
And that's a good point. It reminds us miracles are a testament, or they're a testimony, I should say. They're a testimony, they're a witness to who Jesus Christ is. Yet if somebody has a hardened heart of unbelief, even the greatest of miracles is not going to compel them to trust in Christ.
One last thought I have about this story, John, that is so interesting to me is, you know, how God leads. So Peter was in Lydda, which was close by Joppa. The miracle that he had done in Lydda alerted all the other towns that he was there because it was the miracle that got attention. So now the people in Joppa know that Peter's in Lydda. Why? Because Peter did a miracle. And the miracle is what made good news. So now they're like, oh, he's in Lydda. He's close by. He did a miracle. Maybe. So they call for him to come to deal with Tabitha, which he does, but then now he's in Joppa, having been invited, and he stays with Simon the Tanner. Well, it's staying with Simon the Tanner that he's going to now meet the delegation sent by God, really from Cornelius, from Caesarea. So it's like in every case, you're seeing how God is not only doing something there, but he's also, in what he's doing, something there, setting up for what he's going to do something in the next place and in the next place.
It is fascinating to see the providence of God and how God is always at work in our lives, even when we may not always understand what is happening. Reminds me of the book of Esther that you preached on here rather recently at church, and how although God's name is never mentioned, the providence of God is all over the book of Esther. And in our life, as in Peter's life, we see the work of God going on. And as we follow the will of God, as Pastor mentioned, God will put us where we need to be for the next step of ministry so we can be effective what God's called us to do.
Yeah, our job is simply to be faithful to what God has told us. As we're faithful to what God has told us, we can rely upon God's leadership in all the unknowns. So I hope that helps, my friends. Appreciate you joining us again today. Next episode, we're going to jump into a brand new chapter. So hope you'll join us. Stay on board for a great journey through the book of Acts. God bless, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.